And, you know, as I met Warren Buffett and got to spend time with him, with a group of folks, I really started delving into this topic of what drives success. And it's not just, you know, the traditional hard work and, you know, studying hard.
This is another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. My guest today is Zach Friedman from The Lemonade Life. Zach is a contributor to Forbes with a rather massive audience, right? You have like 80 million followers on Forbes.
I do, Michael. Great to be with you today.
That must mean that you're an amazing writer and that The Lemonade Life is something we should all read, right?
Yes, that is correct. Well, thank you for calling me an amazing writer, but I was saying, yes, you should read The Lemonade Life.
So tell us, I know that you write about personal finance and business in Forbes, but The Lemonade Life is something different, right? Tell us what The Lemonade Life is.
Yeah, so thanks very much. And it's great to be with you on the show. The Lemonade Life is a book that I've written. It's been a bestseller and very grateful for that opportunity. And so The Lemonade Life is a book that really looks into the question of what drives success. And, you know, it starts with a lunch I was able to have with Warren Buffett. And that's how the book opens. And, you know, as I met Warren Buffett and got to spend time with him, with a group of folks, I really started delving into this topic of what drives success. And it's not just, you know, the traditional hard work and, you know, studying hard and getting good grades and getting a good job. But what I heard from Warren Buffett that day was a deeper message, which was pursuing things that give you a greater sense of purpose, a greater sense of happiness. And as I started to kind of embrace that message, I started looking at other leaders who, you know, had that those similar traits, right? I looked at leaders in business and politics and sports and religion and kind of tied together these key behaviors or switches, as I call them in the book. And what I distilled was that there were five key behaviors, five key switches that are inside the world's most successful people. And they're also inside all of us. They're inside of you. They're inside of me. And these five switches are really the secret to lead a better life, which I call the lemonade life. And, you know, every day we're making this choice, right? It's like, do you want to lead a life that's built on settling and pretending and chasing, which I call the lemon life. And it's a life, unfortunately, that, you know, 99% of people are kind of stuck in, whether they realize it or not. But on the other, you know, side of that coin, there's this better path called the lemonade life. But only 1% of people are leading that life. And it's not like it's an exclusive club. Everyone can actually lead the lemonade life. But it's more not about settling or pretending or chasing. It's built on two things, which is purpose and possibility. And purpose is the underlying reason why you do what you do. It's the reason you get up every morning. It's the why in your life. And possibility is endless opportunity. And so the lemonade life is all about connecting the underlying purpose in your life with the infinite opportunity in your life. And when you do that through action and you activate the five switches, you can lead this better life, this aspirational life called the lemonade life. And in the book, I walk through how to do that very specifically, but I also tell great stories, a lot of which you may have never heard before, about some of the greatest folks in history and what they've done to kind of go from their lowest point to their highest point. And so it's a book for everybody, and I'm very proud of it, and, you know, would encourage everyone to go grab a copy and also download the audiobook, which I had the chance to narrate as well.
Oh, that's good. I know a lot of people are kind of split on, do I narrate my own book or do I get someone to do it? So it's cool that you do it.
Thank you.
Okay, so the five switches, like, how did you determine that? Like, is this brain science? Is it just examples? Like, what's the paradigm that we're looking at here, and what are the five switches?
Yeah, so it's a great question, Michael. It is based on science. I mean, this book is not a, you know, hyperbole, you know, hypothetical book. You know, it's practical minded. You know, it's built on behavioral and positive psychology, and really delves into a lot of the leadership traits and the personal traits that, you know, the world's greatest have embraced. And that's really across the spectrum. And so what I did is I looked at all these leaders, you know, starting with Warren Buffett, and looking at the five traits that, you know, I think are most emblematic of the folks who really drive success in their life and live a purpose-filled life. And so the best way to remember these five switches are by the acronym PRISM, P-R-I-S-M. And PRISM stands for, P is for perspective, R is for risk, I is for independence, S is for self-awareness, and M is for motion. And in the book, I walk through each of those switches in detail and how we can all leverage them to lead a better life.
So the risk one is interesting. When you looked at risk with all these, you know, successful people? Is it their perception of risk? Is it the fact that they're willing to take risks? Like, what was the dynamic there?
So, you know, risk is a topic, you know, as all of these are, they get talked about a lot, right? And so it's not just the idea that an entrepreneur wants to take risks, right? I think we've all heard that before, right. But it's actually the way that you approach a risk in your life. And I think most people tend to look at it in a very binary fashion. They're either risk averse, right? They don't want to take risks, so they want to limit their amount of risk in their life, or they're risk seeking, right? So these are, you know, the entrepreneurs, the high flyers are willing to take a bet on. But I don't think risk, the best way to look at it is a binary fashion. And so in the book, I walk through different ways that you can approach risk to make better decisions. For example, looking at risk reward, for example. So it's actually not a binary decision. Are you risky or are you risk averse? But actually, what's the relationship between your upside potential and your downside potential? And if you use that paradigm, you can make better decisions in your life. So it's a way to kind of amplify your decision making and make it more precise. You're never going to get it perfect, but it allows you to mitigate risks while still having upside opportunity. And so things like that are the better way to think about risk. And that's everything. It's whether you're investing in the stock market or you're making a job about making a decision about your next job, or other decisions that we do on a day-to-day basis. Different ways to approach risk, I think, are fundamentally important for the folks who can lead the Lemonade Life.
I like it. And it's a positive message too, because I think that the reason that I think people focus on risk is, you know, we get held back by fear, obviously, right? So it's like this old information, and it's nice that you're framing it the way that, you know, eliminates those barriers to thinking that everything is going to get you.
That's right. That's right.
On the perspective, I think what's interesting to me is what are the circumstances, or maybe you don't identify this, but how do people come to a perspective, at least the people you've interviewed, is there a commonality of having a perspective that there's opportunity in the world, that there's, you know, they have a purpose? Because I'm assuming that that's what gates their purpose and their possibility.
I think we're all wired differently. And so, you know, there are, you know, certain ways that people look at the world, the way that you look at the world, the way I look at the world may be different. That said, you know, just because we're programmed one way to begin with, I do fundamentally believe that you can change the way that you are able to experience the world. And in the book, I walk through different characters that you meet in the Lemon Life, right? The Lemon Life is this life of settling and pretending and chasing. And one of the folks that you meet is called an eternal excuser. And these are people that we've all met before, right? They're the guys or the girls who make excuses for everything in their life, right? Like, I can't do this, it's too much work, or I'm too old, or I'm too tired, or, you know, my time has passed, or I don't have enough money. Whatever the excuse is, you know, those are their fundamental roadblocks to greatness. And, you know, perspective doesn't mean that you have to be happy all the time, or, you know, you're 24/7 of happiness. But what it does mean is that when you experience life's challenges, right, the ups and downs of life, the twists and turns, the different paths, it doesn't mean you're always happy, but it means if you do get knocked down or you do get put on, you know, some detour, that you're able to bounce back with fortitude, right? It's that response mechanism from failure or being able to, you know, understand there is fear in the world, or there are things that you can be afraid of, but you know how to navigate those, and in many cases, circumnavigate those. And so you can reorient your perspective. You can rewire your brain, not just watching a YouTube clip for 5 minutes and getting inspired, but fundamentally changing the way that you experience the world. And that's really what perspective is about. It's fundamentally changing the way that you experience the world. And it allows you to kind of deal with life's, you know, hardest blows when that happens. And I think the people who have that perspective, certainly built on positivity, but it's that ability to overcome things, because that's a different way to see things than most people might realize.
Yeah, I always find it, obviously there's always this whole nurture and nature debate, and I'm sure there's a combination of the two. But to your point, it sounds like your research has shown that we can kind of take control of that and change our perspective. We can make a choice, which I like. That's cool.
That's right.
And then just as far as self-awareness, like, what role does self-awareness play in the success of these people that you find?
I think self-awareness is one of the most important things that you can have in your life, but it's probably the one that's embraced the least. You know, I think there's concerns people may feel. It's, oh, I don't want to be too self-aware. I mean, everyone's heard the term, obviously, but, you know, they think it's too cheesy, or, you know, it's not for them. It's going to take too much work. They don't really want to look in the mirror. But the people who are fundamentally most successful have a very deep understanding of themselves. And that's scary for a lot of people because people like to focus on their strengths. They don't like to look at their weaknesses. But the world becomes a lot more efficient when you really stop caring what other people think about you and stop worrying about what other people are doing or pretending to be someone that you're not or chasing something that is not really meant for you. And it doesn't mean you can't achieve. It doesn't mean you can't aspire. It doesn't mean you can't have role models or mentors or people you'd like to be like. But if you're leading a life just for other people, then you're really out of the game. Self-awareness is all about understanding who you are. It's putting a mirror right in front of you. And your life becomes a lot more efficient when you understand who you are. You understand you're good at certain things. You're not good at other things. And when you spend more time being good at the things that you're already good at or have the ability to be good at, you know, if you know you're never going to, you know, throw a 90 mile an hour fastball and make the major leagues, then like that's not something you want to be pursuing in your life. It's just one example, right? And I think the people who kind of understand who they are and understand what they're good at are going to excel a lot more. I mean, going back to Warren Buffett, for many, many years, Warren Buffett, you know, think of all the tech stocks that you know went through the sky in the late 90s. I mean, Warren Buffett never invested in any of those tech companies, right? I mean, he has since invested in tech companies like Apple, but back then, you know, and people would say, "How could you not invest? These are, you know, stocks are flying high." And he would always say, I don't understand them." And that may sound silly to a lot of people because, you know, retail investors can invest in Amazon or Google. They understand what they do somewhat. But Warren Buffett said, I just don't understand those businesses and therefore I don't invest in them. And for better or for worse, you know, he understands who he is. I mean, Warren Buffett understands who he is. He's not, as I talk about in The Lemonade Life, he's not pretending to be anybody else but Warren Buffett, right? He doesn't live in New York. I mean, he's one of the world's most successful investors, one of the wealthiest investors in the world. He doesn't live in New York, doesn't work on Wall Street, doesn't work in Silicon Valley. He went back to Omaha, Nebraska. And that says something, right? Omaha's a fantastic city.
Your point.
Yeah, like he knows who he is, right? He doesn't, you know, when I met him, he was, you know, driving a, you know, same Cadillac. He's lived in the same house, you know, for decades. And yeah, I mean, he lives very simply, you know, and, you know, he thrives on cheeseburgers and Cokes and Dairy Queen. And he's not trying to impress anybody, right? And, you know, someone like Warren Buffett certainly could do that. But the people, again, who are self-aware and understand who they are and they're living for themselves and not living to impress others, those are the people that get ahead in life.
Oh, I love it. Well, I encourage people, obviously, to check out The Lemonade Life. Zach, I want to acknowledge you for the amazing book that you've written. I'm really excited to take a little bit deeper look into it. Is there any way, how do people get in touch with you? And is there anything else that you want people to know?
Yeah, The Lemonade Life. Thank you very much for that, Michael, by the way. The Lemonade Life is available everywhere. You can buy it at all your favorite retailers, from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Target. Audible, Apple. Apple named it one of fall's biggest audiobooks and also a must listen. And, you know, would love everyone to grab a copy of it. If you obviously want to get in touch with me, you can anytime. All over social media at Zach A. Friedman. So ZACKAFRIEDMAN. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn as well, Instagram, all the other social media platforms, TikTok. And can reach at any time also. I am on TikTok. Yeah.
Are you making like music videos that I can go watch?
Not music videos. No. Just man, inspirational content.
I'm waiting for a second there. But...
My website is zackfriedman.com, ZACKFRIEDMAN.
Terrific. And we'll include that in the show notes.
Yeah. And lemonadelifebook.com. Lemonadelifebook.com has all the links to buy The Lemonade Life.
Okay. Terrific. All right. Well, I want to wrap with a few quick questions. The first one is, if you are the sum of the five people that you spend the most time with, who do you, Zach, spend the most time with?
It's a great question. I actually mentioned it's a Jim Rome quote, and that actually appears in my book when talking about the wolf pack. So I appreciate you bringing that up. Yeah.
You talk about the wolf pack. That's interesting because I'm writing a book called Form Your Own Pack.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, we got to talk again. I know I'm going to quote your book.
There you go. So I spend a lot of time with a lot of good people, but the people that are most important to me are my family. So, you know, I grow from the wonderful wife and children that I have that inspire me and motivate me every day.
I love it. Sorry, I don't know who's messaging me there, but I'll cut that out. what was I going to ask you? Jesus Lord. Oh, how are you, Zach, changing the world?
There are a lot of ways to change the world and create impact. I try to be a small piece and try to contribute in a positive way. So I try to do that in many ways. One is through my book and my writing. So Lemonade Life is really for anyone who wants to lead a better life. creating impact. So the Lemonade Life is all about creating impact. And there's many ways to create it. You can create it in your personal life, you can create it in business, or most importantly, in society. And that can be in a for-profit way, it can be in a public service way, being a teacher, a doctor, serving in the armed forces, our first responders, our police officers, our firefighters, and so many others who are, you know, risking their lives every day to make the world better. I do it through my writing, try to inspire people. My column at Forbes has reached over 80 million people. And I try to help people and break down, you know, personal finance and leadership and other topics in business and elsewhere in a simple, actionable way so people can lead a better life. And I also do it with my company, which is called Make Lemonade, which is a personal finance comparison website. We help people make better financial decisions. So we break down personal finance, which could be, you know, pretty scary and complex. Right. We try to cut through all the bureaucracy and do it very, very, very simply, so people can make better choices and better decisions. I wish it was a tool I had when I was back in school and making a lot of decisions about student loans and credit cards and personal loans. So I try to be helpful in that way as well. And we've been able to, you know, help a lot of people through Make Lemonade. So very proud of that as well.
Amazing. And I want to acknowledge you for both of those things. One, that you are definitely an inspiration to people, but particularly the work that you're doing in the finance space, I think is very important. There's not enough of that out there around financial education and encouraging people not to stick their head in the sand around money.
Thank you very much.
We're going to wrap with one final thing, which is when we have interesting guests on the podcast, we like you to nominate other interesting guests. We usually talk to experts or entrepreneurs. Often that's about technology and business, but it can also not be about that. So who would you, Zach, like to nominate as a future guest of the Automate and Grow podcast?
It's a wonderful question. You know, I won't name someone individually, but I do like what you brought up. And my answer would be to bring more people on your podcast who not only are excelling in business or in technology, but are creating impact. And they look at the world differently. They're what I call in the Lemonade Life a daring disruptor. They're people who, you know, approach the world in a different way. People like Warren Buffett, people who are creating an impact in society. They're helping to inspire people to lead a better life, make better decisions, so they can create, you know, more aggregate good in their life and the lives of people around them.
So you don't have anyone you want to nominate to come on the show?
I'm sure there are wonderful people to come on the show, but I'll have to get back to you on someone in particular.
Oh my goodness. Okay. We'll have to, usually I put people on the spot and we like, who's the first person that pops in your head?
You know, there's so many talents. Try to get Bill Gates on the show.
Actually, you probably know him, but yeah. All right. Well, Zach, we'll follow up with you and we'll try to figure that out. I want to acknowledge you again and thank you for your time today. It's been a pleasure having the chance to talk to you about the Lemonade Life.
Thank you so much, Michael. Really appreciate it and really glad to be on the show.
No problem. This has been another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. We will see you on a future episode of Automate and Grow.